Welcome to a sage country.
I've been waiting for the rain to break. Like a bomb in a baby carriage, I've been waiting for the clouds to disapparate, but I know they won't. They don't just vanish. They are not smoke. They are droplets of dirt in the dream song of dust. They are water. They are water. They are water. Sitting at my desk, collapsing in on myself, each rack of my spine osmosing into the rib below it, I have the dreaded shrinks and the shirelles and the shallow end of the swimming pool and the first beat, pound, blast, drop of the precipitation making landfall against the windowpane, and the rain is here. The rain is here, and I exhale, sharper than a Boy Scout's new knife, because I've been waiting for the rain to break, and it's finally broken.
Rain was falling down in sheets while the carnival packed up its tattered tent poles and canvas bags. Mom was peeling oranges and Dad was standing barefoot in the snow. The mechanic stepped inside to grab new racks, and the carnies packed their troubles up, went running out of town with rich women's pearls stuffed in their purses. And there you were in the doorway, and there I was sliding down the hall, and there you were in your green dress. And there I was, through it all. Rain was falling down in sheets. You could see it in the street lamp, where Marianne sat dreaming of ballet, and all the streets filled up with all the city's urchins and all the city's rats and packs of trams. In goodly colors, Lautrec would be proud of, there was every kind of music you could name. And there you were, spouting Virgil's eclogues, and there I was, back against the wall, and there you were, dancing your heart out, and there I was, through it all. Rain was falling down in sheets. Back behind the Chinese dumpster, as the silver Pontiac went rolling by, I saw the light glinting off the gold band in your ear. You smiled at me in the alleyway, and I smelled orange peels. And there you were, singing in Italian. And there I was, waiting in the fog. And there we were, with the night air in our mouths. And there I was, through it all.
Peter and John in stained glass, the warm hiss of tape recording, blue hydrangeas by the window. Like all artists, I don't belong here. Endless observer, interloper, I meditate on the sorrowful mysteries but end up stuck on Jack again. His Catholicism did bad things to him. He said in his last call to his editor, he was going to Germany to see the concentration camps and dance on the Jews' graves. I am thinking about Barabbas again. The late afternoon clouds make the half moon look like a jellyfish bobbing through white surf. I am eating strawberries, laying on my back, feeling like a lovely lady in a pointillism painting as mourning doves pass overhead. I wonder what you're doing in Portugal.
Sounds of Place, the third floor of the Casa de Fernando Pessoa in Lisbon, Portugal. Phil Spector died in January 2021. Spector's wall of sound production technique broke immense technological and musical ground. Basically, the wall of sound champions an aggressively high production aesthetic. Orchestral arrangements and double, triple, quadruple tracking of the same part, played by same or different instruments, mixed to be bold and distinct, yet, paradoxically, indistinguishable. Spector worked with such musical giants as The Beatles, Leonard Cohen, Ike and Tina Turner, and the Righteous Brothers. He also killed a woman. On the 23rd of February, 2003, he shot and killed the actress Lana Clarkson. Lana Clarkson was an actress known for her roles in B-movies, typically either as a strong Amazonian woman or as a busty femme fatale. Let's hear it for the industry. She was born in Long Beach, California, and attended Cloverdale High School in the late 70s. One of the small thoroughfares in my hometown is Cloverdale Road. It stretches from the unincorporated area making up the Morley Nelson Birds of Prey National Wildlife Refuge all the way through Cuna, Meridian, Boise, Eagle, up to the edge of Garden City, where it loops around into a patch of government land. Lana Clarkson's career was bolstered by many films with the legendary B-movie director Roger Corman, but by 2003, her youth was disappearing, and so too was her acting work. While her public profile dipped, Lana didn't quit on art. She doubled down. She sold autographed DVDs of her old movies on the early internet, and took a job as a hostess to make ends meet. Private accounts say that the year before she was murdered by Phil Spector, she was working on a stand-up comedy special with dreams of becoming a professional comedian. Phil Spector died in prison 18 years after killing her, almost 50 years after producing Let It Be. Lana Clarkson's IMDb page lists her height as 6 feet even and notes that she was a sought-after stunt artist in her heyday. In 1984, the Broadway Drive-In Theater on Victory Road in East Boise held a one-night-only screening of the film Brainstorm, in which Lana Clarkson played the uncredited cameo role of Food Fantasy Girl. I have never seen Brainstorm. The place where the Broadway Drive-In Theater once stood is now a unit in a storage complex. Victory Road intersects with Cloverdale along the south side.
There's a song called I Will Not Mourn Who I Was That Has Gone Away. It's like my friend Teal says, there's always a going away. I've spent a lot of time trying to find my past self. I've spent a lot of time puzzling over reconnecting to him. I've spent a lot of time mad that the people I used to work with don't recognize me anymore. I feel like my own fraternal twin brother. I feel like a ghost in my own city. But I'm not mourning anymore. In 2018, my most played song on Spotify was Macklemore's Ain't Gonna Die Tonight, and believe me when I say I do not know that guy. I used to think I was a fat kid, but I just saw a photo of myself at the heaviest and I was barely mid-size. I used to want scripture tattoos on my thighs, and then I suddenly very much didn't and thought that I would have regretted them, but that's the thing about tattoos. They don't have to be forever true, because nothing is forever true. Nothing about anybody is essential. Am I confident? Not right now, but I think I have been in the past, and I think I will be in the future. Am I selfish? Maybe today, but I can think of times I haven't been, and I'm sure there will be others I am. Everything is circumstantial. You know that fact about all of your cells being new every 7 years? It's the same thing.
The spiral in the sky, the warping in the window, you know, I'm always avoiding the Joe Rogan experience, but there's something in the air tonight, the way the wind smells like pine and sulfur resin. There's something in the air tonight, as distant as a 16th cousin. It does me a disservice when I tell myself that home is where the heart is, because my heart is often almost always everywhere at once, and there's something in the air tonight, like the voicemail you left me at the drugstore. Something in the air, turn up the radio a little bit more, dream the kinds of dreams you never dared to dream before. The blue dreamsicle sunset, the Ada County line. I think I'll keep driving until I trip across the Rocky Mountains with a stuffed pink Yoshi in the back seat. I see me in the rearview mirror, but I'm not he/me anymore. I dream the kinds of dreams I never dared to dream before. And there's something in the air tonight. I can't quite narrow down the feeling, but there's something in the air tonight. For sure.
When the last bus speeds past you at the station, ignoring your outstretched hand, your phone is almost dead, so you start walking to get the lay of the land. You spend the night in Omaha last second. Check into a Motel 6. Public transit's nice, but still it doesn't compare to a repeated phrase and three ruby heel clicks. And all along the avenue, the stoplights all start blinking blue. As you sift through the autumn leaves, like a dog with its head out the window, we are breathing free and easy, cold and light. We're not sure where we're going, but we're in Omaha. So that is where we're going to spend the night. You find a record store perusing Google Maps. Consider stopping by the next day. You never can afford to buy new vinyl, but you stop by anyway. See old familiar albums all remastered, all wrapped up in plastic. Strike up a conversation, with the man behind the counter. He's got a bright blue hair elastic. He recommends a place for lunch. You have a hunch you can't afford it. When you get bored, you thank him. Then you leave. Like the ice that crystallizes in the windows, we are sitting here refracting stolen light. We're not sure what is coming. We're in Omaha, yo, so that is where we're going to spend the night.
Gmail, a little less conversation. 15% off canvas prints for Valentine's Day. Honor the memory of the martyr. Describe the moon as only you know how. The conversation you selected could not be loaded. Please try again never. Actually, we hate you. Please go die. This McCall doctor is brokenhearted over the unvaccinated, asking questions about the blood supply. Questions like, whatever happened to Cesar Romero? Honor the memory of the martyr. Please try again never. Whatever happened to Cesar Romero? This is what happens when you don't check your email.
Yes, but when we eat the rich, will there be ranch dressing? I don't want to sound ungrateful, I just like a bit of flavor, a bit of buttermilk with my revolution, a date with destiny I can dip in herbs and cream. Talk about class warfare. Ranch has outsold Italian since 1992. I read that in Slate magazine. Or maybe Rolling Stone. I too am pale and white, American and oppressive, overwhelming everything that I touch, unnecessary and indispensable, worthless and vital, factory produced by Minutemen in Alaska and owned by the Clorox Company. Yes, but when the last diamond falls to the ground and is ground underfoot by we zirconium masses, will we still have cool ranch Doritos? Like, I get that tortilla chips are part of the problem, and it's worth losing them over universal basic income, but if we could hang on to them for just a while, that'd be pretty neat. But I understand if that's not feasible, and I accept such sacrifices as I must.
This is Magpie.
Who here is a really romantic individual? Who's in a relationship right now and you think that that's like, you found the person for you? You two? Are you in love? Are you deeply in love? You know, that's amazing that you found true love, but what I gotta say to you is, fuck you! Fuck you and your happiness! Fuck all you people who found the one, god damn it! I don't need that bullshit right now.
I get lonely, but I ain't bad.
Chasing these romances that frankly aren't going anywhere.
If you were a teacher, I would fill your class, take it over and over till you notice me.
Wish we had some boyfriends to eat this food with.
Yeah, me too. One of these days we're gonna have some boyfriends. One of these days, we're gonna have some boyfriends.
Yeah, that's gonna be great.
I shouldn't sound desperate. I'm not that available. I'll see if I can fit you in. I'm very available.
Love to just lay here with you. You're kind of cute, and I would say all of this, but I don't want to ruin the moment.
My feelings about his feelings do not matter if I do not know for a fact what it is he is feeling.
Dry hump me in the back of his dad's Prius. Now that dream is dead.
You think it's cool to be contaminated in fornication?
Yes, I do. It's pretty cool.
I don't think you were just looking for a hookup. I also think you were looking for meaning. Peace.
No. Pretty sure I was just looking for a hookup.
Up yours, woke moralists. We'll see who cancels who.
I'm desperate. I'm so thirsty for worship.
I don't think God leads people to podcasts.
If you really want to open the heavens, you get yourself a set of bagpipes.
Oh no, I must have brain damage.
You do have brain damage, but who cares?
Fuck, this hurts so much.
Yeah, I know. But that is life. Nothing else, that's life, you know.
Ajuda-me.
O mundo é tão bonito e eu tenho tanta pena de morrer.
O mundo é tão bonito e tenho tanta pena de morrer.
Page 19. You decide not to disturb the bird's nest. Instead, you climb back down the tree. Reaching the ground, you turn to tell your companions. But they are all gone. All life on Earth vaporized. Rufus activated the machine after all. Maybe you could have stopped him if you hadn't spent so long messing around with birds' nests. But now, it is too late. You took too long. The end.
What is your real message?
My real message? Keep a good head and always carry a light bulb.
And to my one subscriber, Hernock Jensen, I live for you.
This has been Magpod.
Julesburg, Colorado Public Library, large print westerns. When all hell broke loose, go west, young man. The turbulent trail is a civil issue. The hell you know, every mother's son, jury of six, never seen deader. Glorious bloody ties to the Union Pacific, the moon, the lonely moon, traveling west, north of Forsaken. The ambush of the wild angels, justice, desert heritage, easy pickings, and the moon, the Colorado moon, the big empty, the hunted terror, avenger of the reckless oath we made.
After his death in the year 1408, the poet John Gower was buried and interred in a green and red tomb in the Priory Church, which is now recognized as the Southwark Cathedral. Gower was a man dealing primarily in allegories, working in French, English, and Latin, but never quite achieving the literary fame of his peer, that most inescapable Chaucer. Hey, Geoffrey Chaucer. Hey, Geoffrey Chaucer. His most famous work, the Confessio Amantis, is devised in octosyllabic couplets. And despite his reputation for overt moralism, it describes many sexual encounters in lurid detail. One must bear in mind, of course, that this was the 1300s. Things sure were different back then. I first encountered Gower in Shakespeare's adaptation of his tale of Pericles, Prince of Tyre. I thought about him approximately 3 times a week since that day, and my goal by the end of this song is for you to do the same. You'll think, hey, hey, John Gower. Hey, hey, John Gower.
Sunlight through the pale violet bottle of Gatorade. There's no frost on the ground, but there should be. Each breath is like the bite of an apple from the back of a refrigerator, and my chest is pounding, humming in time to my metronome footfalls. My wrists pop lightly, up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down, up, down. Stomach jiggling, not graceful, just joggling. I have a number pinned to my front and my back. It is an ugly number. I have a Clif bar in my butt pocket. My dad is a half mile ahead of me, and I have given up on music. I'm listening now to the birds, I guess, but mostly to the rushing of blood between my eardrums. Why did I agree to this? My hands are numb, and I feel alive in the kind of way that really reminds you that one day you'll be dead. And I stop to take a sip of the pale violet Gatorade, which forms a little private sunset at the front of my vision.
This poem is called Miranda July, and it begins with an epigraph from You Are Jeff by Richard Sykin. There are two twins on motorbikes, but one is farther up the road. Let's call them Jeff. How would your friends describe you? Today, he is still in bed. His nail polish is very chipped. Yesterday, he is a communist. He is grumpy from a headache. Tomorrow, he is at work. He is wearing long pants. Last year, he lives in Wyoming. He calls me for long stretches. The year before that, I think he lives in Montana. He can be hard to get a hold of. But I mean, what are your essential qualities? Today, I am a writer. Yesterday, I am a culture junkie. Tomorrow, I am a friend. Last year, I am self-sufficient. The year before that, I am scared. 5 years ago, I am angry. 10 years ago, I am sure of myself. At the moment of your birth, pinkish. What will be on your tombstone? Who are you in the machine of the world, essentially? One of my favorite lines of poetry ever written was an off-the-cuff remark on a podcast, and it goes like this. We are all engaged in acts of translation with each other. How do we begin to define the borders between ourselves? Who are you, essentially? I've been 4 people in my life. An artist, a farmer, a disciple of God, and a baby. The last 3 are dead and unmourned. A friend told me recently he believes his defining quality his whole life has been the same principle, live and let live. Sitting in the sushi restaurant, I tried to find commonalities with myself across a life. All I came up with was my race and the details of my birth. I don't believe in essentialism. We're all who we are to each other. A person in isolation doesn't exist. On the subway, you are who you are to the drunk guy 4 seats down who is shouting in a language you do not speak. I am who I am to the woman who has had a bad day and who ends up shouting at me through the ticket window glass. We are who we are, reaching out to the sunflowers growing in the interstate median. Who we are, who once reached up to point out Orion's belt before the light pollution put an end to that. Who we are, who we will be in the St. Luke's parking lot waiting for the radiation procedure to end. I, you, we are not essential to the machine of the world. Nothing in the machine of me, you, us is essential. The borders are all immaterial. I am you, and you are Jeff, and Jeff is you, and Jeff is the name of my ex-stepfather who hoarded Christmas tree-shaped yogurt-covered pretzels under the couch in the living room and was later convicted of felony tax evasion. In my life, I have been millions of people, a person per moment per person. I have been a poet, and an actor, and a folk singer, and a violinist. I have been a racist, and a liar, and a bad driver, and a vindictive ex. I have been running late, and strangely early, and then late again because I was circling the block in an attempt to not be strangely early. I have been clever, and slow, and a good listener, and a flaky friend, and I have never done drugs, and I have been the guy who brought the shrooms. I have been another college student on the train after Denmark beat Wales, and I have been a German tourist who does not speak English, and I have been late on the rent, and I have been doing fine, Mom, and I have known about the bird that only lives near your hometown, and I have had relevant poetry recommendations and an underwhelming knowledge of Big Thief's discography. I have known the words to that Leonard Cohen song, and I have never heard Bob Dylan, and I have seen him live in concert, and I have played you Buckets of Rain, and I've cried after surgery because I wanted to listen to Blood on the Track so bad but couldn't find the CD, and I have held your hand after your stroke, and I've forgotten your face, and I have failed to apply for a visa, and I have received a passport stamp, and I have hugged you with your bike in between our legs, and I have taken off the wheel to put it in the back of my car and drop you off at home, and you do not know you because you live on different continents. The multi-subject direct address gets confusing, but we all know us in a Jungian universal consciousness sense, and anyway, the you in this poem is me and you and Jeff and everyone I've ever met, and also Miranda July. So how would your friends describe you?
Let me just turn on the tape recorder. Yeah, I find it helpful to have records, you know, for field notes.
Okay, but we're not in the field yet.
Oh yeah, this is just for me. I help a lot of grad students with their thesis projects, and sometimes it's hard to keep them separate.
Gotcha, okay.
Anyway, this will be great. I'm excited to work together.
Just to be clear, what's your exact relationship to this project?
Well, I do field work pretty much full-time these days. I've never been much for academia, so I manage sites. Basically, I'm here to be your guy on the ground while you do grant meetings and stuff like that.
Okay. Well, good to meet you, site manager.
Good to meet you, too, grad student number 26.
Number one on this project.
True. Number one on this project.
Sage Country Fragments is created by Calvin Pineda and Tacit Matthew Bunk.